Carrie. Watching the remake of Carrie is a bit like being locked in a closet with a bunch of dull people for 90 minutes.
Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore. But to us he gives the keeping.
The other kids, they think I'm weird. I don't want to be. I want to be normal.
Wipe that smile off your face.
I have to try and be a whole person before it's too late.
Helpless little girl see the sin of her days and ways. She'd made innocent. The curse of blood would
Mama, it's not even in the Bible. It doesn't say that anywhere.
Go to your closet and pray.
No.
You pray, little girl. You pray for forgiveness.
Concentrate hard enough, I can make things move. There are other people out there like me who can do what I can do.
You know, the devil never dies. Keeps coming back. You gotta keep killing him.
No!
Prom is next week. You don't have a date already, maybe you want to go with me.
Mama, I've been asked to prom.
They're gonna laugh at you. They're all gonna laugh at you.
Lois, stop it.
If the two of you are planning some kind of joke on a poor, lonely girl.
Your king and queen are.
Carrie.
Based on the Stephen King classic horror novel, I think the one that put him on the map, and it's a remake of, well, it's a different adaptation than the one Brian De Palma did in, what was it, 79?
76.
Yes, it basically follows the story. It's almost exactly like the original movie. It follows the story precisely. Carrie, because her mother is a religious nut fanatic, she has no concept of the world and her own sexuality. When she has her period for the first time, she thinks something's really seriously wrong with her, and all the other girls laugh at her and throw tampons at her. Carrie then discovers, along with her budding maturity, the powers of telekinesis. They're very closely tuned to her emotional feeling of the moment. So when she gets invited to the prom, all goes well until they play a nasty trick on her. Then everyone pays the price.
So yeah, so there's no getting around. This film's been made already. It was made by Brian De Palma early in his career, and he's a guy who respects genre films and was hungry to actually make a horror film. But as I watched this, it became clear to me, even if De Palma hadn't directed the first film, and this is true of all films, but it really struck me this time, 85% of the success of this film depends on the cast. And in the first one, it was Sissy Spacek, Piper Laurie, Amy Irving, William Catt, John Travolta, Nancy Allen.
And PJ Souls. I always like PJ.
And they all give, I think, spot-on performances, what it takes to make this film work. The kids in this film, I'm sorry, they seem bland, they seem interchangeable. It was so bad, the acting, it was amazing. To me, even Julianne Moore, she's usually pretty good in anything she's in. But in this, I thought even she was pretty bad. The director's big pitch was, I think the center of this film is the relationship between Carrie and her mom. So that's why it starts out with the birth and everything. And I was actually okay with that, but it just couldn't happen because I never felt like any of the actors were connecting with each other at all. I just never ever believed it, and I never even believed between Carrie and her mom. I just never bought it.
I was surprised because I enjoyed it. I knew the story. I thought they would veer off in some different direction, but they didn't. The lead, I thought she was fine. I thought she was touching. I actually felt for her, and I thought when she thought that things were going her way and she couldn't believe it, but I thought she was very touching. I always liked the actress who plays the gym teacher. Judy Greer was good. You know, the blonde could have been just a blonde bimbo nothing. I thought she was touching. I thought Julianne Moore was perfectly creepy, did her job. The only problem I had was the high school hunk. He reminded me of the guy in the Spectacular Now. He should have been the punk geek, but I mean, not even close to my buddy Bill Catt. I mean, not even close. The bad girls were fine. Yeah, it worked for me.
It was clearly a film made by a person who doesn't want to make a horror film. So why make a horror film? To me, me, the horror films are about a certain kind of sensibility, a certain kind of tone, a certain way of seeing the world. And I think that's what De Palma got right in the first one. One of the reasons I think the Julianne Moore performance is so dull is because this director did try to ratchet it back, make it more realistic. Probably my least favorite scene in the film is Julianne Moore is working in a dry cleaning store, and this woman comes in to drop off a dress, and who cares about what they're talking about, but she starts inflicting these wounds on herself, which a certain type of disturbed person does. I'm sorry, this character is not about that kind of obvious realism. It's about a character who has a major screw loose rattling around inside their head, and I think that's what Piper Laurie got. You can go and you can say maybe the way the house was done in her performance and the closet she puts Carrie in the original is a little more overdone, but for me, all that kind of stuff helps to represent her interior mind. Here we just have like a clinical presentation of a woman who's mentally unbalanced, and if that's the movie you want to see, I'm willing to pay money and go see it. But if you want to tell me that's what Carrie's about, I don't have any interest.
Piper Laurie and her performance. I heard an interview with her recently in which she was asked, well, what did you think when you first got the screenplay? And she said, oh, I laughed. I thought it was a comedy. I thought it was at least a dark comedy.
Yeah.
And she played it like a dark comedy. I also heard an interview with Julianne Moore, who I think the most trenchant thing she said was, I decided to go gray. She did. She goes, I just don't think Carrie's mother would dye her hair, so I decided to go gray.
I don't know, just the acting itself, it's almost like a reflection of today's society, you know? It's like kids don't have any personality.
Yeah, but the blonde was completely dull. And
she was
again,
dull.
I'm not a big Amy Irving fan, but looking back at the other film, there is kind of a core of sweetness, but also not dullness. The guy who did the William Catt performance, suddenly I realized about halfway through the prom, it hit me, oh, this guy's shooting for Channing Tatum. Well, let me tell you something, buddy. I've seen Channing Tatum, and you're no Channing Tatum.
I will say about the William Catt character, you know, when the first one came out, I kind of had a man crush on Catt. He was kind of a good-looking guy and everything, and this guy's so dull.
Comparatively, everyone falls short in this version. There's no question about it. You're not going to get Spacek. You're not going to get Catt. You're not going to get Travolta or Amy or Piper. But I liked a couple of things. I liked it when Carrie lets her hair down, you know, because she has that weird, whatever, tight hairdo, and she lets it out. And I like it when she's, like, making her own dress, when she's sewing her own dress like her mom is, you know, just stuff like that where she's discovering not just popular attention for the first time, but kind of inner talent. You know, maybe I was reading too much into it. You know, like I said, I was surprised. I went with it. I liked it. And it was over. It was a fast movie. And I liked the black, you know, it was just a little bit when she gets to the prom and it's her date's black friend and his girlfriend.
She's from another school.
Yeah, that's why we all liked her. Can we go with her to the other school when the prom over, because I'd like to go there.
I'd like to get to know her better.
Yeah, they seem like a good group over there.
She looked like she really liked Carrie, you know?
Yeah.
She has spent 4 years abusing her in high school, that's why.
Throwing tampons at her.
He said tampons again. The screenwriting, the writing itself was so bad, and there were lines in there that I just can't forgive. And, of course, the one I'm going to remember forever and embroider on a sampler is when one of the dudes is talking to one of the girls involved, and he actually says to her, and I quote, did you throw tampons at Carrie White? And it's delivered just like that. But would a guy ever even say that?
Yeah, they probably wouldn't say tampons, and they wouldn't say... I mean, again, that's the question of, like, a reporter from the newspaper.
Yeah.
Did you throw tampons at Carrie White?
And it's not like we need to be reminded that she had tampons thrown at her.
Well, and if you forgot, they put it up on the big screen during the big prom finale,
yeah.
Which I thought was not needed, but there it was. The De Palma thing is all about the suspense, all about waiting. There is no suspense. There is no any of that. There's just a really bad over-the-top payoff at the prom scene.
From that to the twins, which I guess was the director's way of, what, being twee? I don't know. I don't know what the twins are all about. The only good thing I can say is, apart from the fact that Chloe was doing some kind of orchestra conducting with her powers at the end.
She was doing telekinetic jazz hands.
Yeah, telekinetic jazz hands. The explosions were okay. So, and I'm usually not a big explosion fan, so I took those.
I blame the director for everything. Everybody seemed like cardboard cutouts. No characters were fleshed out. They were trying to flesh out Carrie, but it got to the point, where she became a conductor, you know, whereas in Sissy Spacek, there was a little innocence to Sissy Spacek. Spacek when she did it.
Well, you know, also the difference was when she's walking around, Sissy Spacek, when she's walking around, there's kind of a pain in her performance at that point. Where this one, Chloe's, and again, it's probably dark, she's kind of bland and she's kind of using her hands to manipulate all the things happening. So I guess what they lost track of at some point was Chloe seems completely disconnected from what she's doing, where Sissy, she looked like she was in pain and she looked like she was angry and she looked like she wasn't thinking. Chloe just looked like in those final moments she was just going through the motions. And I think that's a big difference.
Well, I think Sissy didn't even know the power she had until the actual prom, whereas Chloe studies it and knows what she has, knows she can orchestrate a fire and, you know,
make people fly. I thought we were going to have a scene from The Exorcist at one point in the bedroom.
At least in the original. In the original, you know, Sissy just kind of looks at something and it happens and looks this way and the fire goes and the cables come apart and things were just too overdone in this movie. Even the deaths, like when Carrie stops the car, do we have to see the girls through the windshield eyeballing her?
No. She opens up a crack in the street that goes into the crack. The tough boyfriend backs out of the crack and then he smashes up the car and then he's dead and she lifts up the back wheels of the car and now the bad girl goes flying through the windshield and then finally Carrie drops the car and it shoots off into the gas station and explodes. And my only thought at that moment was, God, I'm glad I don't buy gas there. That place is, it's a death trap.
I know, but even the scene, she's looking at her through the windshield.
Yeah, and she's got the little shards of glass in her head. And again, I don't know what your head looks like when you go through a window, but usually you just don't get it right around where your head is. There's a few broken
perfect
out areas.
Perfect circumference, right?
Yeah,
around the
nice
face,
and tight.
You know? Carrie was very methodical about her keratosis.
That worked fine for me, I thought. Is it watchable? Yeah, I think it is. I actually enjoyed it. I had a good time.